January 22nd, meeting of Newcastle County Council is now called to order. Please stand for a moment of silence. Thank you. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Bell?
Here.
Mr. Bullock?
Here.
Mr. Cartier?
Here.
Ms. Diller?
Here.
Mr. Holmes?
Here.
Mr. Bradford?
Here.
Mr. Howard?
Here.
Mr. Rada?
Here.
Here.
Smiley?
Here.
Here.
Mr.
Here.
Mr. Weiner?
Here.
Are there any corrections or amendments to the minutes of the meeting January 8th, 2013?
Motion to approve is distributed.
Second.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Minutes are approved. Any announcements from members of the council? Seeing none, we will now hear from our clerk. Councilmember Dillard, I'm sorry, pass. Councilmember Dillard? You okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Introduction of ordinances, Madam Clerk.
Ordinance 13005, amend the grants budget appropriate $150,000 from the FY 2013 operating budget to the property maintenance revolving. Ordinance 13006, amend the annual FY 2013 operating budget. Reduce the FY 2013 appropriation to the Department of Land Use by $150,000 to provide funding for the property maintenance revolving fund. Ordinance 13007, amend the grants budget, realign $100,000 of federal funding with the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. FY 2009 Edward Burns JAG program grants without funding for the warranty on in-car cameras that had been awarded by the Department of Highway Safety to the Department of Public Safety. Ordinance 13008, amend the capital budget, increase appropriations by $575,000 for the Police Academy renovation project.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Now we will have committee reports. Start with our Finance Committee. Mr. Smiley.
Yes, Finance Committee met 1:30 today, 8-4 conference room, discussed issues on this evening's agenda, awarded a grant, and voted to make some adjustments to the Council's FY 14 budget submission.
Thank you, Mr. Smiley. Executive Committee. We met today upstairs in the 8th floor conference room in the conference room at 4:30, and the sum and substance of our deliberations were around Mr. Alan Mattos and Mr. Joe Bryant coming in as appointments from the administration. They were discussed and gave both candidates opportunity to speak, and there was a warm and acceptable spirit in the room. We also talked about in the executive session, we considered, deliberated, and approved legal counsel to represent counsel's interests, and our process in the legal case Save Our County versus Newcastle County in the litigation. Mr. Weiner.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Technology Subcommittee met on Tuesday, January 15th, to discuss matters tasked to it by the Executive Committee, and we're not yet in a position to report back. We'll be meeting again on Tuesday, March 5th at 11:30 a.m., at which time we hope shortly thereafter to be able to report back to Council.
Thank you, Mr. Weiner. Councilmember Diller?
Yes. This afternoon at 3 o'clock, well, actually 3:25, the Community Services Committee met, and we discussed updates for the various libraries, as well as the fact that we still have really no firm information about the federal budget, but we anticipate, and the Community Services Department is preparing by including cuts in their proposed budget.
Thank you. Land use. I'm sorry, Mr. Powers, Councilman Powers. We'll go to land use and we'll come back to you. Mr. Tackett.
You can go ahead to Mr. Powers. Land use was canceled, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Powers, you have the floor.
Special Services Task Force met on Tuesday, January 15th at
Thank you, Councilman Powers. We'll now move on to the consent calendar. Any member of council or the public may remove an item from the consent calendar for further discussion by a simple request. If an item is not removed, it will not be subject to amendment, discussion, or other objection, and will be voted upon as a package. Consent calendar items are noted on the agendas as such and published in the newspaper and are available in the back of the room. Is there anyone from council or the public who wishes to have an item removed at this time? Seeing none, is there a motion to approve the consent calendar?
Mr. President.
Mr. Bell.
I move that resolution R13012 through resolution 13-027 be condensed and read before council for its consideration and approval.
Second.
Is there a second? Moving second. All in favor?
Aye.
Say aye. So moved. Madam Clerk, please proceed.
Resolution 13012 through resolution 13027. Congratulating and commending Senior Lieutenant William Harden, Senior Sergeant Claudia Malone, Senior Corporal Thomas J. Abrams, Senior Corporal Franklin D. Cook Jr., Senior Corporal Matthew Drake, Senior Corporal Jeffrey D. Hill, Senior Corporal Darrell A. Hawk, Senior Corporal Scott R. Mathis, Senior Corporal Arlene Redman, Senior Corporal Stephen Reinhardt, Senior Corporal Eric R. Roberts, Senior Corporal Anthony Skelsey, Senior Corporal Josephine M. Sheridan, Senior Corporal Bonnie Lee Schreiner, Senior Corporal Penny Taylor, and Senior Corporal Joseph J. Travel on their retirement from the Newcastle County Police Department.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Please call the roll on the consent calendar.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Mr. Cardia?
Yes.
Mr. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Holland?
Yes.
Mr. Patrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, roll call, yes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. We now have presentations. Any of my student colleagues who wish to make a presentation at this time? Seeing none, moving on to items removed from the consent calendar and other resolutions. We will now have consideration of resolution removed from the consent calendar and other resolutions, R13-028. Mr. Smiley, Mr. Carter, you want to manage this?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. President, members of council. I'd like resolution 13-028 read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Resolution 13-028 authorizing the execution of three purchase order contracts totaling $393,431.
Mr. Carter?
Yes, this resolution contains three purchase orders. And I'm just very briefly going to summarize the three that add up to the total described in the title of the ordinance. Well, first, we have a sole source vendor, Priority Dispatch Corporation, and this is for an amount of $288,110. It will cover the cost of purchasing the emergency police dispatch protocol system for the 911 center. This is the third part of the total priority dispatch system. This enhances the capabilities of our 911 center in dispatching police calls and allows for, vetting of these calls and prioritization of them. So it's a very important enhancement to our 911 response for police. The other two originate from HUD, their emergency solutions grants, one going to the YWCA for $52,660.50, and this to provide rapid rehousing and supportive social services to our Newcastle County residents who find themselves homeless. The other one is to another nonprofit agency, Connections, same source of funds, HUD Emergency Solutions Grant for $52,660.50 for rapid rehousing. And that's the content of this resolution that placed before council. We actively vetted it in the committee, finance committee today, and it awaits council's vote.
Thank you, Councilman Cartier. Are there questions from the body? public comment.
Mr. President.
Yes, Councilman Street.
I'm going to be brief, but consistent with what I said in committee meeting, I can't support this. And I feel very strongly that this whole process needs to be changed. It's wrong. You've got two completely separate, different things coming out of two different departments on the same purchase order. And, you know, to me, it's just wrong. I think it's a given that we're just going to do what we want to do with $393,000, and separation of role and function doesn't matter. Second, with the priority dispatch for $288,110, you know, we built a $50 million Taj Mahal. The air conditioning system didn't work. And every time you turn around now, we got to upgrade the software and the calling functions. All this should have been done. And I would have thought with $50 million, most of this would have been taken care of. But here again, we come back. And sole source bidder. Like, only the people from Salt Lake City can get this $288,000. In regard to the homeless projects, I've got a concern. All of a sudden, agencies that we've been contracting with for years are not included, and all of a sudden, a brand new agency that we haven't had a whole lot of experience with appears, and they're the stellar agency that can do this work better than anybody else. So I can't support any of it. I think these should be, at least by department, they should be brought forward separately. The will of council is the will of council, but I just couldn't sit here and not say anything because $393,000 is not monopoly money.
Thank you, Councilman Street. Any other questions or comments, Councilman Smiley?
Councilman Street, I agree with you in the follow-up on the finance meeting. We did put that request in, and since that time, you know, and thinking back, I think we actually had this conversation a few years back with the departments, and since then, there had not been an issue, but we have a new administration now. Maybe we're going through a few growing pains. We'll get these separated back out again, and what's relevant to one another should be on one purchase order. And, you know, that's outside of that relevancy, have its own. Not looking for everyone to be on a different one, but at least maintain some continuity of necessity of the purchase order. So I think that should not be a problem going forward.
Thank you, Councilman Smiley. Any other comments from Councilman Street?
That takes care of going forward, and it's only $393,000 later.
Thank you. Public comment, seeing none. We'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on R13-28, please.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Mr. Cardia?
Yes.
Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Collins?
Yes.
Mr. Patrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Shilton?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
No.
Mr. Paget?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, roll call, 12 yes, 1 no.
Approved. R13-029. Mr. Cartier.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of Council, I'd like Resolution 13-029 read by title only and place before Council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Resolution 13029, resolution approving the issuance of certain bonds or notes by the Claremont Fire Company number 1.
Mr. Cartier.
Okay, thank you. This resolution before you represents substantially in content. The content of the resolution is to for the Claremont Fire Company to refinance some of their outstanding capital debt. Claremont Fire Company, which very soon will celebrate 85 years of existence, serving the Brandywine 100, went through a very large-scale capital improvement plan and built a beautiful new addition, the fire hall, on the Philadelphia Pike. In fact, I would say that, as I said in committee, it's one of the first great new buildings as part of the Claremont Renaissance, and they're to be complimented on that, and certainly built a beautiful new fire hall along the pike to better serve the public and meet their needs. But this resolution proposes $5.3 million in refinance of bonds, and they're taking advantage of the extremely low rates on the bond market to realize savings for the company.
Thank you, Mr. Cartier. Questions or comments from the council?
One last
comment, Mr. Cartier.
Follow up on a point made very well by Councilman Smiley. This is not a issuance of county bond debt. Does not have any fiscal impact on us. And this reissuance is going forward on the creditworthiness of the Claymont Fire Company itself.
Thank you. Public comment? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please read.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Mr. Dillard?
Yes.
Mr. Holland?
Yes.
Mr. Patrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. Fred
Wilson?
Yes.
Approved. R13-030. Mr. Smiley?
Yes, Mr. President, I would request that resolution number 13-030 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration.
Resolution 13-030, authorizing execution of one purchase order contract totaling $36,219.50.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes, this is for the purchase of a replacement cartridge for Communitor for the Airport Road Pump Station. Without getting into the details that most people would not like to hear, it turns big chunks into little chunks. And this is part of the county. The county will be seeking some form of reimbursement compensation due to the damage brought by Hurricane Sandy, along with some other financial outlays that the county had.
Thank you, Mr. Smiley. Council, do you have any comments or questions? Public comment. Seeing none. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Mr. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Holland?
Yes.
Mr. Patrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President Rothfeld, 13, yes.
Approved. R13-031. Concerning to the appointment of Alan Mattis for the position of Community Services General Manager, read by title only pursuant to council for consideration and approval. Mr. Mattis is here, and please read it in. I'm sorry. Is that second?
Second.
Approved.
13031, concerning the appointment of Alan Mattis for the position of Community Services General Manager.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. We spoke with Mr. Mattis. He is here tonight, and we feel that he is prepared and ready to serve in this position in the administration. We bring him up tonight for consideration and approval by this body. Any questions from the council or comments? Public comment. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Mr. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Holland?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President Rothfeld, 13, yes.
Approved. Again, R13-032. Mr. Joe Bryant met with us today, and he will be read into the record pursuant to council's approval and consideration. Madam Clerk?
Second.
Been moved and seconded.
13032, concerning the appointment of Joseph Bryant, Jr., position of Director of Public Safety.
Again, Mr. Bryant is here, and he is prepared and ready to serve this administration. I ask Mr. Mattis and Mr. Bryant to stand, please. Thank you so much.
Could they wave?
Council, do you have any questions or comments?
Mr. President.
Mr. Bell.
Mr. President, as stated in committee this afternoon, in light of the fact that Colonel Bryant our Director of Public Safety here in Newcastle County, recently retired from the Delaware River and Bay Authority Police Department. I work directly for the Colonel as the budget manager in the Delaware River and Bay Authority Police Department up until his retirement. And in light of the fact that he is now being appointed as the Director of Public Safety for Newcastle County, as well as myself being an elected official of Newcastle County, I will be recusing myself from the actual vote. But let me say and make it perfectly clear, as I did today, as a co-chair of the Public Safety Committee, I look forward to working very closely with Director Bryant in the future and the staff of the Public Safety Department in the best interest of the citizens of Newcastle County.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Councilman Street.
Yes, Mr. President. I do, Councilman Hollins did correct me this afternoon. Colonel Bryant is not the first African-American Director of Public Safety. However, because he's not first, that does not take away from my excitement. And my excitement in the fact that educated here, spent 20 years on the police force here, made historical progress in becoming a major, going from an officer to a major in a relatively short period of time. He's also been very, very active and involved in the community. And if you look at his resume, he's received recognition from, I think what we'll agree on, is two great fraternities, Omega Psi Phi and Kappa Alpha Psi, been recognized by as a black achiever and by the Wall Street Y, very visible in the community. And the issues that I have brought forward and concerned myself with over the last 8 years, I believe if there is a possibility that there we can make progress on those issues, that it can come from the leadership of Joe Bryant. So I'm excited about it. To me, it's major progress because it's a homegrown young man, and I'm excited about it. And in November, I publicly expressed my displeasure and said two things. One, I was no longer willing to serve as co-chair of public safety, and also said I would not support anything that the administration brought over from public safety until I saw major progress. Well, the protest in terms of the vote is now over because I think this does denote major progress, and so I will vote up or down on public safety items that come forward. But again, my enthusiasm and my excitement and the potential that I think we have for substantive positive change under his leadership, I'm looking forward to working with him.
Thank you, Councilman Street. Councilman Cartier.
Yes, I'd like to very briefly thank both these gentlemen, Mr. Mattis for community service and Mr. Bryant for public safety, for stepping forward to serve the public of Newcastle County, and I wish them the greatest success as we protect and serve here in the county. And I'm both pretty amazed and thrilled we have these two high-quality nominees to vote on this evening.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other comments or questions from council? Public comment? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Bell?
Not voting.
Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
Yes.
Ms. Dillard?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Mr. Patrick?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Packard?
Yes.
Mr. Wine?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call is 12 yes, 1 not voting.
Approved. Welcome, Alan and Joe. Give them a hand. Thank you. Substitute number one for R12-122, Mr. Powers.
Got lift from the table. Excuse me. Point of order. Got lift from the table.
Lift from the table.
Thank you.
I moved to pull resolution.
All right.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
So moved. Mr. Powers.
Second.
Substitute number one to resolution 12-122, authorizing the county executive to institute condemnation proceedings to acquire liens on properties located at 80 Germain Drive, tax parcel number 07-043-20-043, 82 Germain Drive, tax parcel number 07-043-40050, and 84 Germain Drive, tax parcel number 07-043-40051.
Councilman.
Yes, we've had a couple of committee meetings on this. We had one last Tuesday, and it seemed to length.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments for Councilman Powers? Is there a public comment? Seeing none.
Mr. President.
Mr. Abbott, please come.
Mr. President, members of council, Richard Abbott here on behalf of Mr. Donald Pellicone, who's the owner of the property. I have here a handout. I want to give one copy to put into the record here tonight. The other copy, if I could pass those around, because we only get 3 minutes. So in summary, what I'm giving you in this two-page document is an explanation of why my client would respectfully request that you not approve the resolution here tonight. The resolution, of course, only authorizes the county executive to exercise the power of eminent domain, but we're assuming that it's a pretty much foregone conclusion that that will happen. That's why the authorities sought. But the summary that's in front of you talks about the primary focus of the county in this issue of streets, creeks, streams, and so forth is drainage. And this is a flood project. What it really is, it's a federal and state flood project. Now, the county's involved in it tangentially, in a very minor fashion, but it's really a state and federal project. That's where all the money's coming from. That's where the design's taking place. That's really where the predominant jurisdiction for this type of project is vested legally. The county's authority, and that's in here, as most of you know, you're probably familiar with the concept of the county's responsibilities to keep streams and creeks open and free-flowing. So if a tree falls down, if beaver dam gets built, those are the sorts of small projects typically the county's involved with. So, or Special Services Department, I should say. But there's three basic prerequisites under the statute that the county is seeking your authority to, or your approval for the county executive to use the eminent domain authority. One is that generally it has to be a county project. Again, this is not a county project. This is a state and federal project. And what's effectively happening here is the county is essentially loaning or allowing the states and the state and feds to borrow their eminent domain power. The Conservation District State Agency, DENREC State Agency, Army Corps of Engineers Federal Agency. The second requirement is that there be council approval. This council has never heard from the Special Services Department, as far as I know. At least I haven't seen anything or heard anything at the prior meetings I've attended. But the Special Services Department, both under Section 1525 of Title IX of the Delaware Code, and more particularly under the county code, Section 12.07.002, Special Services has to come to this council, explain the project, go through it, the council vets it, and then the council approves it. That's step one. Then step two procedurally is, if you can't negotiate the property interests needed to construct the project, then they come to council with this resolution. So they're really putting the cart before the horse here. And last but not least, Section 1525 of the Delaware Code, which is the sole eminent domain authority that is intended to be relied upon, only applies to a very narrow type of project. Again, consistent with the county's narrow scope of jurisdiction in the streams, creeks realm, the county is basically allowed under 1525 to straighten, to widen, or to alter the course of. And the definition of alter the course means to modify the path.
Mr. Abbott, time.
So we would suggest you defeat the ordinance or the resolution on the grounds that the county does not possess the authority they're seeking to exercise. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Abbott. Any questions for Mr. Abbott?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner.
Thank you. Mr. Abbott, I think the crux of your issue in my mind is, does deepening the creek fall within the definition of widen, straighten, or alter? Did you find any case law concerning a deepening being or not being included in the definition of widen, straighten, or alter? That's on point.
No, no case law certainly on the Section 1525. But what the Delaware courts, as you know, as a lawyer, Councilman Weiner, the Delaware courts will look to the dictionary definition. Alter means to modify and alter the course. The course is a path or the meanderings of a stream. That's more of a locational issue. So if you're going to modify the location of the stream, because theoretically you can straighten out an elbow or you know, a 90-degree turn in a stream and physically relocate the actual flow point, and that's different than straightening, because you're not straightening the whole stream. You're just taking a jog out in the turns of the stream. That's what is intended based on the common and ordinary meaning of the terms alter and course in the dictionary, which under the county code you're supposed to rely on, I think it's Webster's unabridged dictionary. So that's what it defines those terms to mean, and so that doesn't include deepening, which clearly is a different concept.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Councilmember Tackett, Retta, and Cartier, in that order, please. Councilman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Abbott, I know you wasn't able to make the committee meeting, but your client was there. One of the questions that he was asked during the committee meeting, or some of the information he presented during the committee meeting, was that he had documents from government officials stating that there were no issues with his property. He was questioned by a fellow council member about us seeing those documents, and he said, sure, he would get them to us. He never did. Do you know anything about that?
I can only tell you what he relayed to me this evening, which was that he's been in touch with, I want to say, the Conservation District. People have been out sick. People have been on vacation. Yesterday was a holiday. So he's asked for them, and I think ultimately he was explained, or they explained, that they don't have a file. So they don't have any documents.
Well, he told us he had them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I know you weren't able to tell you what I was told. So
exactly. You weren't able to
shoot the messenger.
Councilman Retta.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Abbott, you said that Special Services didn't explain this project. They came up with a resolution first. Actually, this project's been going on since about 1990. And I got in office 8 years ago, and 8 years ago I attended a Little Mill Creek meeting in Ellesmere, and Special Services was there. A representative for Special Services was there. And in that meeting, that was probably 18 years worth of studying that the Army Corps was doing on to do the upper part and the lower part too. And this was presented to council by Special Services before a resolution came in. Because I was sitting on council, and I know most of the people here today on council were there. So where do you get the information, or where do you say that Special Services didn't present this to us?
As far as I know, there's been no resolution approved by council formally authorizing that the project proceed.
That's not what you said. You said that it wasn't presented. The resolution was presented first, and then they didn't explain it to us. They did explain it to us 18 years ago, explained it to the council 18 years ago.
Well,
and then it was brought back again 8 years that I've been here.
Okay. I thought, if I didn't say it correctly, then I'll rephrase it, but the point is, step one, county council approval. County council can't approve something unless it's by resolution or ordinance. That's the only way you can signify your authorization.
So I believe there was money put in by the county.
Appropriation issue.
If the money was put in by the county, that means there's county money in it. That means it's partly county project, along with conservation and Army Corps.
Well, in County Code Section 12.07.002, it says, step one, there needs to be a study to map the floodplain and delineate the wetlands along the stream. Two, cross-sections of improvements must be prepared. Three, costs must be estimated. Four, a public hearing must be held with notice to adjacent property owners for them to come and comment at this public hearing. Five.
I was there.
County council meeting must be held to vote on it. Now, it doesn't say county council must pass a resolution or ordinance, but it says the county council must approve it. So what that means in legal terms is you have to pass a resolution saying we authorize the county proceed with Project X. It hasn't happened. I'm just saying that's one of the procedural mechanisms that has to proceed tonight.
Where we get our money then?
I don't know. I haven't seen any documents. They've said that they have $500,000. I suppose they do. I don't know. I haven't seen any authorization specifically for county expenditures on this project. It may be there. I haven't had the chance to get them yet.
Mm-hmm.
Neil, we're focusing more on can the county even condemn? And the answer to that is no. So, and the Army Corps and the Conservation District and DENREC lack condemnation authority, so that's why they're coming here, because they want the county to allow them to borrow the eminent domain power so that they can do their state and federal project.
Yeah, and if we don't pass this tonight, in one way or the other, we're dead in the water with this. We're not going to get anything. And the people that are down there right now, if we do have a major flood or another flooding project, rain, these people are going to get damaged again because of this. The money's going to go away. There's federal money. It's out there, and it's going to go away.
Yeah,
and it has to be done tonight because next week it's too late.
I'll take your word for it. The only thing I
got
say,
a call from the federal government on it.
The only thing I can say, Councilman, is that we've met in the past. My clients spent money to obtain a conceptual plan, and basically the governmental agencies have said, sorry, you're on your own. We're not willing to help you out. And, you know, I understand there's different levels of approval that and we can't get a final permit. You can't get free permits. I understand that. But the governmental agencies involved are the very same governmental agencies, the county, the Army Corps, and DENREC, that are involved in wetland and floodplain issues and the permits that are required to get those approvals. All we wanted to do was try and come up with an agreement where we would get cooperation and assistance in getting those approvals so that my client could do something with his property. Please understand, my client spent $250,000 to buy three industrial park lots that essentially what he's been told by these agencies is, forget it, you're never going to be able to do anything with your land.
Councilman Reddick.
One more thing. In 08, I believe your client bought that property?
I believe that's correct, yes.
Okay, and in 08, when he bought it, was there any search on the property saying that it was in a floodplain? All the properties?
That I don't know. All I can tell you is if you go on the county GIS maps today, that all but a very small part of one of the lots is in the floodplain.
Well,
it might even be in the floodway fringe,
it has to be,
too. I don't know. But it's on the GIS maps.
There has to be a disclosure on that.
Yeah, I can't tell you. I can only tell you what my clients indicated, which was that he investigated it and did not and was told that it was not in the floodplain.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Cartier and Councilmember Kilpatrick, and we do have representation from Special Services who are here. If they would like to comment, feel free to come to the podium at this point. And then we were, after Councilmember Kilpatrick, we're here from Pro Tem Hollins. Councilman Cartier.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. As I disclosed to members of council, you know, I'm the district councilman for Mr. Pellicone. And I'm taking great pains to understand the situation and to act accordingly. You know, taking into consideration Mr. Pellicone's a small property owner and, we should be very careful with our use of eminent domain and condemnation powers. I think since I've been on council, we did condemn an easement for sewer, which I think is a very understandable power to have, given that it's necessary for maintaining public health. But so I just want to say, I mean, I asked Mr. Pelican to deliver me whatever he could so I could advocate on his behalf. I haven't gotten anything. I'm sorry, Mr. Abbott, you weren't there at the hearing. But I'm going to tell you that I'm going to ask, bring special services up at a point, the question about this multi-step approval procedure for stream improvement that you cite in your case here. And but I guess the most germane thing for me that really weighs on my mind is that, and I want you to just, you know, bear with me, I'm going to formulate this question. If we were to exercise this eminent domain and condemnation procedure here this evening, would this mean that ultimately Mr. Pelican would have no ability to develop the property that he has?
No. There's a permanent easement and two temporary construction easements. There were originally three temporary construction easements, and apparently Special Services has eliminated one of them. So easements are merely impositions to temporary construction, obviously, to build the project, and then it'll go away. The permanent easement will be permanent in nature, and I don't know that there's I don't remember what's going to be on that permanent easement area. I think they're just changing the elevation or the grade of it or something. So I don't think there'll be any improvements that will create an impediment to the property. I guess where my client's coming from is he's obviously, and I understand that this is somewhat of an apples and oranges situation, but the bottom line is he's frustrated because of what are pretty total taking regulations that are imposed as a result of the floodplain and the wetlands. And so what he's asking is, hey, listen, I'm willing to work with you guys, and you need to work with me. And the problem is that the governmental agencies have said, listen, you know, we have a project. We're going to deal with apples. You're dealing with oranges. Forget it. That's fine. They're legally entitled to do that. And by the same token, Mr. Pelican's legally entitled to object to the taking and to essentially be the mouse that roared. And if that's what it takes to get everybody back to say, fine, we'll work with you, help you, make sure that you can do something with your properties, then he really doesn't have any choice.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Carter, you have a follow-up?
If I could, and you can remain up there, I think.
Before you ask the question, yeah. Councilmember Kilpatrick and Hollins, will your comments and questions be directed to Mr. Abbott? Yes or no?
Yes.
They will be? Okay, you may remain. Mr.
Cartier? Yes, if I could call up the representatives of Special Services just to ask this particular question. Okay.
Please state your name for the record, please.
Marianne Dougherty, Special Services.
Welcome.
Yes, in the legal case that's in front of us or points that Mr. Abbott's prepared, he cites County Code Section 12-.07.002, which speaks about a multi-step approval procedure for stream improvement projects.
Mm-hmm.
And do you feel you've met that standard with council?
Well, I would say that this is not a county project. This is a federal project. We are a local sponsor. We are contributing money towards towards the project. And although I would argue that we have met most of those, if not all of those, because of the meetings that we've held and the plans that have already been done by the Corps, but I would argue that, you know, we are a local sponsor. It's not actually our project. We are contributing the money towards it as a local sponsor in the form of obtaining easements. And the county is charged with keeping all non-tidal streams in the county that aren't under the jurisdiction of someone else open and free-flowing. So these easements are necessary to actually maintain those areas.
So just to follow up, the action we have before us actually flows from Section 1525?
Yes, I believe so.
Maybe if you could just talk about that a little bit.
Well, Section 9 Delaware Code 1525 authorizes the county to obtain easements if they're, and to pursue condemnation for easements if they're needed to widen, straighten, or alter the course of any small run or creek in the county. And I can't think of a better project than this to do that. You know, if you look, there's nothing in the statute that defines what alter the course means. So you look at, you know, therefore you have to look at the dictionary definition, and alter means to change. And course is defined as a channel in which water flows. So by deepening, we are most certainly altering, you know, a course in which water flows. So I'm very comfortable that we're on solid legal grounds in going forward with this project. And again, we are charged with maintaining this creek and any other run in the county, that in keeping it open and free flowing. And to say that, you know, somehow this project wasn't voted on by county council is a little bit odd to me, because it's been in every capital budget ordinance for years, this project, and the allocation of the funds towards that. So, you know, I certainly, you know, there's no hesitation in my mind that somehow county council never approved it. So.
Okay, thank you. I'm done with my question.
Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Yes.
To go back to Mr. Abbott's statement about not being able to, or not willing to help the property owner, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, that at the end of the last committee meeting, there was conversation about the Department of Special Services helping them with other agencies, and actually asked that if he had anything in writing that talked about these properties when he was doing his due diligence prior to buying. And they asked if he had documentation that said that Conservation District, Denrec County, whoever he went to, said that there was no problem with these properties, and he said that he did. And I believe that Ms. Dougherty was happy that he had documentation and was willing to sit down and help him, even if it was to the point of writing to the agencies that would give permits. So I thought that after the last meeting we had resolved that issue, that Newcastle County said that they would assist in writing to other agencies for the needed, to support him for the needed permits.
Well, that's different than the issue that I was referring to, Councilwoman. What I was referring to is after we came before Council Special Services Committee meeting in August, there was a consensus, or there were at least enough comments among members of Council, that the parties try and get together and come up with some potential resolution. As a result of that meeting, we sat down. Unfortunately, the Army Corps of Engineers, for some maybe procedural or technical reason, wouldn't come to the meeting. They're pretty important given the wetland component of the development potential or the development issues on my client's property. So, but we did have a very cordial meeting, and we talked about what we could do to set up and more concretely present the issues for comment by the Army Corps, the county, the Land Use Department, etc. We then set up a second meeting. My client obtained conceptual development plans, expending some funds. We sat down, we had another cordial meeting with all those folks. The general manager of land use was there, representative of special services, the Army Corps, the Conservation District, NREC, etc. So we explained what we were looking for assistance on, which was to say, look, we're going to need floodplain permits and we're going to need wetlands permits. Are you willing to enter into some kind of a memorandum of understanding, we didn't call it that, but that's essentially what we were looking for, that says, hey, listen, we're going to help you out, we're going to assist you through the process, and this is something, or if the plans he drafted were not appropriate, then let's negotiate some other lesser or different type of project. He basically wants to put a garden center there with some parking, and to have stockpiles of materials for sales in his operations. So, you know, it's a use. It's not a highly intensive use, but it's certainly different than open space. And there's all kinds of restrictions. Effectively, as I said, you can't do anything with your property. It's a total taking, and it's really unconstitutional. But in any event, it is what the laws are. So after that happened, we then sat, waited. The ball was in the government agency's court. The next thing we got was a letter saying, we're going to be going to county council to condemn. But we didn't even get a no, here's why.
But just what you reiterated again, that you had asked the county for assistance at the end of the last meeting a week ago, we came to the conclusion that they would assist. Am I correct?
Different assistance, different issue.
No, same assistance. Same assistance as
absolutely,
you just said.
I apologize. Respectfully, I have to disagree with you. Having an MOU to be able to cooperate so that you can get approvals and talking about whether Mr. Pellicone was misled when he bought the property are not the same thing. They're two completely different subjects.
But they said, do you want to speak to this?
Mary Ann Dougherty. Yes, we're happy to help Mr. Pellicone in any way we can, you know, writing letters on his behalf to, you know, basically explain his situation. We sympathize with him. But what they want me to do is something I have no power over. I can't force the regulatory branches of the Corps and DENREC and land use to give him these permits. You have to go through a proper procedure. And just because we're doing this project, I can't impose authority that I don't even have and ask them to do things. That would be inappropriate for me. So we have met with Mr. Pellicone twice, and we've tried to work with him as best we can within the framework that, you know, the law allows. But I can't supersede my authority and get him things that I just can't do that.
So. And that was made very clear at the meeting, but you still are willing to assist in writing letters to the agencies that would give him the permits.
Yes.
Can't ask them, you can't make them give the permits, but you would give the assistance, the legal, the technical assistance
I
needed.
Certainly would. I would be happy to help him, walk him through the red tape or whatever you want to call it to try to, you know, get him to the right people, you know, I do feel bad for him. He bought lemons, I would like to say. I mean, they were in the floodplain when he bought them in 2008. I don't know how it was missed by whoever he hired, if he hired anyone, but, you know, it is what it is.
Thank you.
Councilmember Hollins and Councilmember Retta.
Thank you, Mr. President. I agree with the sentiments of Councilwoman Kilpatrick. It's very challenging to go through the process of condemnation or eminent domain. Unfortunately, it is sometimes necessary. There are a number of government agencies here, as has been mentioned by council, but the fact of the matter is these agencies are all performing their specific roles here, whether it's the federal government, the state government, or Newcastle County government. Our role here is to gain these easements, so we're doing what our job is because the other agencies don't have the power to go through eminent domain. That's Newcastle County's contribution to the project. There's a major component of the project, but most of the project has been paid for by the federal government. And last week, or the last time we met, there were given declarations by the owner of the property that he did, in fact, have these documents. And I can assure you that the document did not come from Newcastle County government. It could have come from DENREC. It could have come from the Conservation District. And I think that's where the wrath should be directed. That document saying whatever it says did not come from this government. And we're all in this together as a partner on this particular project. And it's very clear in the Delaware Code 1525 because it actually mentioned Little Mill Creek by name in the legislation in the code, which says to me that it's one of the examples of what they're trying to preserve here and make certain that there's a flow through this particular creek. And our role as by code is to make certain when we get to this process that the owner of the property is given fair market value. The code does not require us to do some of the things that we've been asked to do here. So I think we're extending ourselves to try to be of some degree of assistance, but I don't think there's anything in the code that says that Newcastle County upon condemnation has to then, therefore, make certain that there's improvements to a property that someone owns. That's just not there. And the fact of the matter is, 38 of the 39 property owners have agreed to allow for the easements to come into their property. It's my understanding that only 3% of Mr. Pellicone's land would be used permanently after this is all done, after the temporary easements go away. So, and I agree with Ms. Dougherty, if the idea is that, well, Newcastle County is not participating simply because Newcastle County does not have the authority to give these permits. That's up to for floodplains and wetlands. That's when you go to DENREC and the Army Corps. And if we're willing to do that to assist you, what else is there Newcastle County is supposed to do? We're already beyond what is required for us to do by code. So these things that are being asked for, I think that you should ask for them. I think that if we could give them, perhaps we would, but we don't have them to give.
I agree with everything that you said, Councilman, except for one thing, which is that I would part company, I guess, on the subject of Section 1525. But I agree with everything else that you've said. I think the problem is that 1525 is much narrower than the scope of this project, and the county really is, and Ms. Dougherty even conceded, this is a federal project. I thought it was a state project, too, so I apologize. I'll stand corrected. It's a federal project. And these agencies are effectively coming to the county saying, hey, we need to borrow your eminent domain authority.
That's how that process works.
Well,
at the end of the day, we benefit as well because they're putting up most of the money. So the easement is part of it. The federal government is not accommodated into this jurisdiction to do easements. That's what we have to do. That's what we have the authority to do, and that is our contribution to the project. And as far as the road alter is in the section 1525, I think you're right. Most forms just go to the dictionaries, which I had to do when I realized you had a different interpretation than Marion Daugherty. So it comes to, you know, but I don't think that's the genesis of the issue here. I think the genesis of the issue here is the fact that we're being asked for something that we don't have to give, and that the county is not the agency or the governmental entity that said to Mr. Pellicone whatever he said he had and doesn't have today. It was not us. So the agency that did that are now saying they can't find it or they're on vacation, that's the agency that should be producing these documents that he said he had.
Yeah, and again, I think the issue, and I know Mr. Pellicone focused on that issue last week, the issue I'm focusing on tonight in my comments is that the Army Corps oversees wetlands. So if you want to get a fill permit for wetlands, you have to get it from the United States Army Corps of Engineers. Number two, and I don't know this because I haven't researched it, but I believe that section of the stream may be tidal. I don't know. If it's close to tidal, then DENREC has some jurisdiction, too. They have jurisdiction over tidal wetlands. In any event, at least the Army Corps, perhaps DENREC, and then Newcastle County Land Use Department is the designated agency delegated by FEMA to oversee the floodplain issues. So I appreciate what Ms. Dougherty said. I was not aware of that, so I apologize to Councilman Kilpatrick. I misunderstood your point that you were trying to make because I wasn't there last Tuesday. So I apologize for my confusion. But in any event, the point is the Special Services Department, with all due respect, doesn't really have any say. And so that I appreciate that they would send a letter, but that and a couple dollars will get you a cup of coffee. So what we're looking for is a cooperative joint effort, and both the Army Corps and the Department of Land Use sort of shrugged their shoulders and said, not interested, thanks, goodbye. So, you know, again, my client, because I know, we pretty much understand, they don't want my client to build anything on his land. And so they're not going to assist, they're not going to cooperate, they're not going to help in this process. So my client's got to use his leverage as a matter of law and as a practical matter to say, look, we can all work together. Certainly when Bloom Energy wanted to locate on certain parcels that the zoning doesn't even allow them to operate electric power plants on, the County Land Use Department wrote intentional misinterpretations of the code to make it happen. So we all know what happens if the government wants things to happen. So if the government wants this project to happen, we're not asking anybody to break the law like in the Bloom situation. We're just asking for assistance and cooperation and an effort to make sure that my client has his best shot as possible to do something with his land.
Thank you, Mr. Abbott. We have comment or question from Councilman Retta, Street, and then Kilpatrick, and then we're going to move on to public comment.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Mr. Retta.
Tony Schiavi, can you get up to the mic, please? I mean, you've been in this project for a while, and I was at Little Mill Creek. This is for the record. I was at the Little Mill Creek meeting when the first half was gone through. And then afterwards, when it was all done and we had another little meeting and we talked about the second half, the money for the county put up, it was voted on in the beginning for the capital improvement. Am I correct for the whole project?
That is correct.
I just want that on record. And also that Special Services is not involved like the Army Corps or DENREC, but we are involved in this project.
Yes, Anthony Schiavi, Department of Special Services.
Mm-hmm.
This project is a federal project, and the role of Newcastle County is as one of the local sponsors, along with DENREC and the Newcastle Conservation District.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Retta. Mr. Street.
Thank you, Mr. President. I was going to ask some questions, but I'm just going to go and give my remarks here. Mr. Abbott argues that the project is not a county project and the state and the federal government are simply borrowing our eminent domain rights, and I'm not so sure he's wrong about that. On the other hand, I looked at this, I looked at it very carefully, and I looked at the length of the creek, where the work was going to be done, and the fact of the matter is, this is the smallest portion of land of all the properties that's being changed. It's at the end of the project, the end of the area, and I quite frankly don't think, and of course the department knows more than I do, but I don't see how this project, the benefits of it are made or not made on the basis of whether or not this particular land is acquired. Also hear you, Mr. Abbott, saying very clearly, my client is using this, and on his behalf, I'm making this presentation using this to try to get leverage so that he can eventually do something with his property, which I agree with Councilman Hollins. I don't think that's our responsibility to see to it that somebody purchases land and then that we're supposed to assist in making sure that they're able to develop it. And the will of council is the will of council. It's nothing new about me being defeated 12-1. And from what I hear tonight, that'll probably happen. But see, my concern is bigger than this, because to me, eminent domain and taking people's property is real important. Now, this gentleman is represented very well by the able counsel of Mr. Abbott. The last time, and I think it was in Councilwoman Kilpatrick's district, that lady, the older lady who didn't want to cooperate, and we decided we were going to take her property, build a sewer right through it, she was represented by very able counsel. They could afford that counsel. This particular situation, the man spent $250,000 for some land in a floodplain with nothing on it. Well, if we take their land and they're represented by able counsel, the people who put me in office, then we use that as a precedent, or we'll just go right through and take their land anytime because they're not going to be represented. So I think this is very, very serious. I think it sets a precedent in here within a relatively short period of time. It's two properties that we've condemned and invoke eminent domain. I think it's a bad precedent. I think it is a potential danger for people who are not so well situated financially, and I'm not going to support it. I'm not going to support anything like it.
Thank you, Mr. Street. Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think we've gone a little overboard here. What they're asking for, except for about 3% of one parcel, what they're asking for here are trespass agreements. This is not the taking of anybody's land. The man will have 99.7% basically of what he had before. We're asking for trespass agreements. We're asking to be able to go on the property to fix something for the health and welfare of other residents of this county, and his land will be put back as it was before.
Thank you. Councilmember Street.
This doesn't say trespass agreement. It says authorize the county executive to condemn, take, do what we're going to do. So if it was intention to have a trespass agreement, that's what it should state. I think they're two very, very different things, and I'm concerned about the precedent for everybody else and the folks who can't afford the Mr. Abbott's of the world.
Thank you. Mr. Cartier.
Yes, very briefly, an easement is essentially a trespass agreement. It's in the language of the resolution. And I just had two questions for Mr. Abbott, if I could, please. Just really one question, actually. The main impediments to, I just want to get this clear on the record, the main impediments to Mr. Pellicone developing his property has to do with wetlands permits from the Army Corps and floodplain issues from Dennerick, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And what we're proposing...
I should say floodplain approvals from the county. From the county.
Floodplain approvals from the county.
I misspoke.
Okay. What we're proposing to do tonight, and when we go and condemn something, we offer a payment, a fair payment, in exchange for that, that easement right. When we go forward with this, this is not going to prevent him from fully developing his property. The issues that he has go to floodplain and wetlands, correct?
That's correct. And I let me make sure the record's clear here, too. I think the county's been very fair in terms of, or Special Service has been very fair in terms of their appraising, their valuation, their offer. And this is certainly not a case where my client is saying, hey, I'm going to use this leverage to try and squeeze more money out of the county. That has nothing to do with it. And you've captured our point. And I'm going to be honest and upfront with you. I mean, that's what our intent is. That's what we're hoping to accomplish. The Army Corps, the County Land Use Department have it within their power to sit down and say, let's support, let's figure out what we can support, let's get it through the process, we'll back you up. And the bottom line is, he has a shot. If you don't have that commitment from those governmental agencies, it will never happen. And he will have three white elephants on his hands. And it's, to count what Councilman Street commented a moment ago, it's really the haves and the have-nots, because if you have the political influence, you'd get these agencies right on board. That baby would sail right through the process. You've all seen it. I saw it. I see it as a lawyer today. If you don't have that influence, then you get stopped. You get log jammed. You get roadblocked. And that's what's going to happen to them. So all we're looking for is the same type of cooperation and assistance, really, that you would think the government would provide, but certainly they do provide it to the politically influential, and so we're using this as our alternative to the political influence.
Thank you, sir.
To get what we're looking for.
Thank you, Mr. Abbott. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The floor is now open for public comment. Please come forth.
Good evening. My name is Douglas Souter. I've had a business on Brookside Drive for over 30 years. Be very brief. I would like to thank Mr. Abbott for his testimony tonight. He did a very good job of presenting you the letter of the law. What he did not do was remind you of the other side of the law, something that all of us who adjudicate the law forget from time to time, and that's the spirit. All the points that he brought up, if you think about the spirit of those laws, they support a yes vote in this condemnation order. You all heard the evidence and arguments prior to this evening. I believe they're overwhelming. They demand a yes vote. This project, as Councilman Retta pointed out, has been in the making for 23 years. And if we let this die tonight, it's gone. Resurrecting it will be impossible. And I will, along with the 50 other businesses down there, will continue to suffer financial losses, property devaluation, and personal injury. And yes, I said personal injury. People have been injured, they've suffered, they're still in pain today. This isn't just a dollar thing, this is a human thing. I strongly urge you to pass this. Let's get this done. One last thing in closing, and this is strictly my opinion. The man who purchased this property made a mistake. And now he is holding 50 plus other businesses hostage to get his way. Do you want to be remembered as being a participant in that, in light of what's gone on in this country in the last 10, 12 years? And just in the last few days? Thank you.
Thank you. Any comments or questions?
Just a comment. Thank you.
You may be seen.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. The power of eminent domain is well established through the United States Supreme Court. It's balanced property rights and health, welfare, and safety rights in the United States Constitution. Local government couldn't survive if it didn't have a judicious exercise of condemnation in order to protect its constituents' health, welfare, and safety. Condemnation for governmental purposes such as sewer or parkland or creek restoration to control flooding is a normal and appropriate exercise. I thought the nub of the issue was whether or not there had been a limiting factor on the definition of widen, straighten, or alter, which is why I'm pleased that both counsel from both sides were asked the question about the issue of deepening. After having listened to arguments both pro and con, I'm satisfied that deepening is within the scope of widen, straighten, or alter, within the meaning of the code, and I feel that to protect the health, welfare, and safety, this is a judicious use of eminent domain, and I'm going to be voting in support.
Thank you, Councilman Weiner. Public comment? Please come, sir, and state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. President. Kevin Donnelly, Newcastle Conservation District. A couple of things I want to set the record straight. I heard the Conservation District mentioned early in this discussion about playing some role in providing information to Mr. Pelican when he bought his property. I can tell you I got two calls from DENREC after Mr. Pelican called them asking me for copies of information that Mr. Pelican was calling DENREC looking for. And I think I've heard it clarified tonight, the Conservation District is not a regulatory agency. We don't regulate wetlands. That's a Corps of Engineers and a DENREC role. We don't regulate land use. That's the Department of Land Use role. I can tell you I personally offered Mr. Pelican assistance on two issues on his property. One, assistant him in removing fill that the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers required him to remove. He declined. And two, the standing offer with Mr. Pelican to assist him with a drainage culvert located on the side of 84 Germo Drive that DelDOT installed, which Mr. Pelican believes is to be improperly located. That offer remains. And should he want our assistance at the end of the project, I'd be happy to assist him with that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any comments or questions to the speaker? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Anyone else wish to speak at this time, please come forward. Please come to the podium, sir. Announce your name for the record, please.
My name is Donald Pelican. I own this property. I want to state for the record that Councilman asked about letters that were written. The copies that I had of those letters I gave to Laura Herr and Jim Chaconis at a meeting I had in Dover. I've been in contact with them the last couple of days since last Tuesday's meeting with council, committee meeting, to get copies of those letters because I gave those copies to them. Laura Herr is retired. That doesn't surprise me. She's gone. Jim Chaconis was out sick. Monday was a holiday. I called every day since last Tuesday to have him call me about these letters. I spoke with, I believe her name was Gail in Soil Conservation. She said she spoke to Jim Chaconis. He remembers the letters. They were put in a file. They can't find the file. But if need be, I will have Jim affirm that he did receive these letters. These were letters. This was through the Freedom of Information Act. Before I bought my property, and this is critical, before I bought my property, I went to land use, sat down with Rennie Gaines, asked through the Freedom of Information Act what problems, what issues, where, what is on this property that I need to know about. The information she came back to me with was there aren't any issues. I went to DENREC, Freedom of Information Act. Where are the problems? Soil and water conservation. Are there any water problems? I've received two letters from them stating there were no issues, there were no problems. No problems means no problems. Laura Herr's attitude was, you did your due diligence, but you didn't do it well enough.
You have 1 minute, sir, left.
This is floodplain. I was told by John Geisling in September of 2008 that I'm not allowed to do anything with this property. All the hazardous material, all of the trash that I hauled away from this property, they wanted me to bring it back and pile it up. Through countless lawyers and engineering fees, I was able to permit out of it. Up until tonight, it's the first I've heard anything other than no from these project people that they would help me. This is floodplain. They need the permits to permit out of it from land use, from FEMA, and I ask them for their help, and so far I've got no answer. They just don't want to negotiate. They don't want to talk. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Any comments or questions to Mr. Pelicone? Seeing none, thank you, sir. The floor is now closed to public comment. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on R12-122, please.
Yes.
Yes.
I just want to, before I vote, make the offer to Mr. Pelican that, you know, I'd like to help him any way I can, and I'm interested in his situation. But in this matter, before us, I'm going to vote yes.
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 Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
No.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. Postle, roll call, Hill 12, yes,
1 no. R12-122 approved. Thank you. Moving on to ordinances 13-001. Mr. Smiley.
Yes, Mr. President. With your indulgence and that of counsel, I just want to make a couple comments.
Please, sir.
That is, this... Despite being on medication, I do have clarity tonight, and understanding that the motion that would have funded over 70, at least 70% of this ordinance didn't even receive a second upstairs. I have no doubt what the outcome of this ordinance will be, but even so, I feel committed to moving forward. So with that, I would ask that ordinance 13-001 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration.
Second.
Ordinance 13-001 to amend the compensation for employees of County Council by rescinding the health care surcharge.
Mr. Smiley.
As per the title and the lengthy discussion earlier this evening.
Thank you, sir. Council, question, comments. Public comment. Seeing none, we close the floor to the public comment. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Bell?
No.
Mr. Bullock?
No.
No.
Ms. Diller?
No.
Mr. Holland?
No.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
No.
Mr. Powers?
No.
Mr. Retta?
No.
Mr. Sheldon?
No.
Ms. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Sackett?
No.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
President Earl Fargo, 10 to 3, yes.
Approved. 13-002, Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Ordinance 13-002 be read by title only and placed before Council for its consideration and adoption.
Second. Ordinance 13-002, amend the grants budget appropriate federal funding of $304,200 from the U.S. Department of Transportation through the State of Delaware Office of Highway Safety to the Newcastle County Department of Public Safety for the purchase of in-car cameras.
Mr. Bell.
As per title, Mr. President.
Mr. Bell.
As per title.
Okay.
I'm okay.
You good? Council, questions or comments? Public comment. Madam Clerk.
Mr. Bell.
Yes.
Mr. Bullock.
Yes.
Cartier.
Yes.
Billard.
Yes.
Mr. Holland.
Yes.
Mr. Patrick.
Yes.
Mr. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Vetta.
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon.
Yes.
Mr. Smiley.
Yes.
Yes. Mr. Packett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
President Bell, 13,
yes.
Approved. 13-003. Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Ordinance 13-003 be read by title only and placed before Council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Ordinance 13-003, amend the grants budget appropriate $34,250 in special law enforcement assistant funds from the State of Delaware Department of Justice to the Department of Public Safety for the purchase of Penlink telephone analysis software.
Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Mr. President. As per title.
Council, comment, question. Public comment. Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Bell.
Yes.
Mr. Bullock.
Yes.
Mr. Cartier.
Yes.
Mr. Dillard.
Yes.
Mr. Collins.
Yes.
Mr. Patrick.
Yes.
Mr. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Retta.
Yes.
Sheldon?
Yes.
Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
President Roll Call, yes, 13, yes.
Approved. 13-004, Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Yes.
I move that Ordinance Number 13-004 be read by title only, placed before Council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Ordinance 13-004, the installation of Arlington Street Lights in the Windsor Commons at Hyatt's Corner Subdivision, located 1500 for a light tax base on the cost of street lights.
Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Mr. President. As per title.
Council, questions or comments? Public comment. Seeing none, Madam Clerk.
Mr. Bell.
Yes.
Mr. Bullock.
Yes.
Mr. Cartier.
Yes.
Mr. Dillard.
Yes.
Mr. Holland.
Yes.
Mr. Kilpatrick.
Yes.
Mr. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Retta.
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon.
Yes.
Mr. Smiley.
Yes.
Mr. Street.
Yes.
Mr. Tackett.
Yes.
Mr. Weiner.
Yes.
President Roll Call, 13, yes.
Approved. I understand we have one honorary resolution. Sponsor, please. Mr. Street.
Yes, Mr. President, I move the resolution number 13-033 be read by title only and placed before Council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Mr. Street.
Yes, Mr. President, this honors the life and legacy of Judge Schwartz. Judge Schwartz served as chief judge in the United States Court for the District of Delaware for a period of time. He was known, I think, primarily because of his long-standing authority over the Evans versus Buchanan School desegregation litigation, which ultimately ended up being the Coalition to Save Our Children versus State Board litigation. He had to endure a lot of opposition in the community from what everybody actually thought was his court order. But the fact of the matter is, and Councilman Weiner may speak to this further, as I was going through the record as we were preparing the resolution, the intra-district remedy had already been decided by the federal court here, upheld by the Third Circuit here, upheld by the Third Circuit in Philadelphia, and Supreme Court refused to take it up. and it was at that point that he inherited the case early in his career as a judge, and the 9-3, which was the final remedy order, was actually his, but the inter-district remedy and the merging of the districts had already been ordered and approved by the court before he got it. But nevertheless, he stood his ground, and being in the courtroom for a lot of years, for a lot of reasons, he never wavered from his principles, and he stood firm on justice. He stood for fairness, and he tried to treat everybody fairly, and he endured the consequences, and I think in a great way, of standing on his principles. So some of the other things that, and Mr. President, you may have been involved, you know, he was a judge in who addressed the prison overcrowding situation, and ruled on that. He was also involved in the secret Coca-Cola formula, and he dealt with a situation of, these are landmark cases, in terms of the University of Delaware's right to free speech. So I think he was an outstanding jurist, and I think that consistent with what's stated in the resolution, the Schwartz family has lost its patriarch, and justice has lost an effective, courageous champion.
Thank you, Councilman Street. Councilman Weiner.
Thank you.
Additional comment.
Appreciate it, Mr. President, and I'd like to thank Councilman Street for permitting me the honor of working with him on this resolution. I had the pleasure of knowing the Honorable Murray Schwartz personally. My good friend Dick Cornbluth clerked for Judge Schwartz and shared some personal stories about the courage and demeanor of this man who may have been small in stature but was huge in his vision. It's because of him that we today now have students throughout our county that understand the importance of the diversity of our community. And it may come as a surprise to many that this diminutive man in stature was Republican. His philosophy was what I thought the Republican Party stood for when I joined the party, and I'm very proud that Judge Schwartz has left this legacy. He's been going to be honored by the Delaware State Bar Association, and I'm pleased that Mr. Street and I have the opportunity to present this this resolution in his honor.
Thank you, Councilman Weiner. Any other comments or questions or public comment? Seeing none, Madam Clerk.
Yes.
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 Mr. Holland.
Yes.
Mr. Patrick.
Yes.
Mr. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Retta.
Yes.
Michelle.
Yes.
Ms. Miley.
Yes.
Mr. Street.
Yes.
Mr. Tackett.
Yes.
Mr. Weiner.
Yes.
Thank you. Any emergency ordinances tonight? Other? Mr. Bell and Mr. Smiley.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just briefly, earlier this evening, we asked for resolutions to be condensed. I want to personally thank and commend my legislative aide, Karen Barlow, for working very closely with FOP President Mike Zielinski with the 16 resolutions that were presented last Friday evening at the FOP County Police Retirement Dinner. Did a great job on them. Which brings me to the part that, Mr. President, I thought that you did an absolutely excellent job in representing this council as one of the keynote speakers at last Friday night's event.
Thank you, sir.
I compliment FOP President Mike Zielinski and their board. It was a very nice evening. Myself, as co-chair of public safety, Councilman Cartier, Councilman Retta, Councilman Tackett were all in attendance. And when we look at retirements, we look at folks that have given, in many cases, a lifetime of service to others. In the case the other night, when you add up the 16 resolutions, the 16 retirees, It totaled over 368 years of combined community service to others within our police department. All 16 represents and represented and can, will always represent the best of the best, our Newcastle County Police Department.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Councilman Smiley.
Yes, although not significant in recognizing the snowfall we had recently, I'd ask the clerk of council without resolution to possibly check on some heat for our next meeting. I'm cold.
We're about to leave and get in warm cars. Thank you, Mr. Smiley.
Not unless you're pre-starting mine, it's not going to be. And with that, I would offer a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you so much. Thank you for a wonderful meeting. Yeah.